طيب. But here امرأة, the wife of Abu Lahab, she was a bad woman. She had children. She had children, but she was a bad woman. She was not making an environment conducive to iman in her house. So she's also missing. And zawja, you will find when those things are complete. And when the household and the environment and all of that is complete, then zawja is used. Tayyib, وَمْرَتَهُ حَمَّالَاتًا حَتَبًا. حَمَّالَتْ, what does it mean? This is مَفْعُول بِهِ, the one who carries. حَتَب was used for the kindling, used for fire. But here, Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he says that نَقَالَ الْحَدِيد, نَقَالَةَ الْحَدِيد. And what she would do is she would go and spread news. She would gossip. She would backbite. And Ikrama, the great tabi'i, he says about this ayah, كانت نمشي بالنميمة. She used to go and spread false rumors. And this is very important for us today. Today, how many of our brothers and sisters are busy with this? Looking for faults, spreading backbiting, spreading slander, spreading false news, or even if it's true, but it's something that somebody wouldn't want to say behind their back, there's no benefit in it, this is ghiba. If it's false, it's worse, it's namima. Today people, even tullab ilm and ulama, may Allah protect us all, yani they are sometimes busy just looking for the faults of other ulama. Some of the brothers, instead of learning ilm, they watch videos just to find a fault. And then they want to cut it and slice it and dice it and, oh, he said this, and take it out of context and things. You have to be careful, because you will fall into the trap that she was in. And this is the real meaning of the ayah, that she was somebody that would go and spread false rumors. She would spread lies about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She would spread false information about other people. She would sometimes take secrets and reveal them when she shouldn't. So she is called the one who carries hatab, who does this. And as Hassan al-Basri and others have mentioned, that this was due to Namima and her kindling the fire on Abu Lahab. And she would make him angry, and she would try to get him to be worse against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is mentioned from Qatada and others as well, that because of this, that she will be kindling the fire on Abu Lahab, throwing wood on him in a nar, in the hereafter. This will be a punishment for both of them. في جيدها, in her neck, what does she have? حَبْلٌ مِنْ مَسَلٍ. طيب, حَبْلٌ وَأَصْلًا مُبْتَدَى وَالْخَبَرْ فِي جِيدِهَا. طيب, in her neck, she will have a necklace of masad. Masad, many of the ulama of tafsir have described it to be the very rough fiber leaves from a palm tree that would be put together to be put on the most rebellious of the animals. That would be a very harsh thing that would cut you. But when we look at it, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, سلسلة من الحديد, يعني it's an iron chain. And this is Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه. And other a'imma and ulama have given these meanings. يعني Ibn Kathir and others have mentioned that this will be masad min al-nar. It will be a rope made out of the fire. Why in her neck a necklace of this punishment of masad? Why? Because as the hadith that Tabari has mentioned, that she used to have a necklace that was a very expensive necklace. And she would go around Mecca telling people that, I swear by Allah that I will use this necklace to fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she had a very expensive piece of jewelry, and she wanted to give this in the cause to fight Islam. So here, because of her giving this in her fight against Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it with a necklace of iron and fire and masad, that harshness that will be put around her neck in the now, in the hereafter, forever and ever. This is what she has earned from her actions. I will end by mentioning a few things. If we look at Jameel, she was somebody who was very foul mouth. She was somebody that was hateful. She was the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through marriage the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she would go and throw the filth of her house in front of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he would walk in the dark times to make his salah in front of the Kaaba, even though they didn't have the 5-time salawat, the Prophet used to go and make long salawat. But when he would walk, the thorns and filth that she would throw would harm and dirty him. So she was somebody like this. When she heard these ayat in the hadith that is authentically reported, she went, يعني, Al-Hakim and Ibn Kathir and Ibn Abi Hatim have mentioned it authentically. She went towards the Kaaba. When she heard this, she got upset. And she was a poet, so she knew poetry. So she went to argue with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she was coming, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were sitting by the Kaaba. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw her, he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Jameel is coming. And she is, يعني, a person who will be very foul. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never foul in his language. Like today you see some people cursing, using bad words, thinking it's cool. It's not cool. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used foul language. So when he would have somebody like this, he wouldn't deal with them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told him to be careful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّهَا لَا تَرَانِ, she will not see. Abu Bakr radiallahu was surprised. Jameel came, she sees them sitting together, she turns to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and she says, where is your sahib? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is she asking me, where is he sitting next to me? And then he realized the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she couldn't see him. Another miracle. I told you we'll go over the miracles. Another miracle from the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's right there in front of her, he can't see him. Then she said some disrespectful word. The name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam means the most praised. Ahmad and Muhammad, both coming from praise. So she called him Mudamma. Mudamma, يعني, the one who is the most lowly, the most disgraced. So here, she used these foul words and she left. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu turned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a malik, an angel, to screen me from her. So she couldn't scream. He said, oh Muhammad, يعني, oh Messenger of Allah, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will you not respond to her harshness? Now look at the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, why should I respond to her? She's not talking about me. She's talking about Mudammama. Mudammama? Who's that? It's not me. I'm Muhammad. She's not talking about me. So whoever Mudammam is, let him answer her. Look at this beautiful way of that. Today sometimes, somebody curses at us, we curse back at them. Somebody gets filthy in their language with us, we get filthier with them. We go down to that level. You should never go down to that level. Somebody calls you a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist. Whoever is a terrorist can go get offended by it. I'm not offended by it. And yet, alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. That's what I'm proud of. And this is why in da'wah, sometimes people will try to argue and debate with you in a low level, a filthy level. Never go there. Imam al-Shafi'i, the great scholar of Islam, once he's giving dars, mentioned manaqib Imam al-Shafi'i. And some of the ulama became jealous of him. Unfortunately, even ulama are people. Sometimes even they have jealousy. And they paid a bad woman, a prostitute, to go and make a false accusation against the great scholar al-Shafi'i. So imagine he's giving dars amongst his tulab ilm and a woman comes and says, oh Shafi'i, you're sitting giving dars now, but what about last night? That's something shameful. Every one of us would know. What? What are you talking about? You're lying. Shafi'i, he was quiet. His students became quiet. Imam Shafi'i then looked at her and said, how much do I owe you? Honey, this is what you're saying, then how much do I owe you? The woman was so shocked, she started crying. And she said, wallahi, I'm wrong. She said, this person and this person, she mentioned who it was. This person and this person and this person came to me and they paid me to falsely accuse you, you're innocent. The students of Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayh, they asked him, if you didn't do anything, which we know you didn't, why did you not defend yourself? Shafi'i said, Allah knew my innocence. Allah knew my innocence. And I didn't feel like lowering myself to this debate. And if I had defended myself, some of you would have stood up with me, and others of you would have kept something in your heart. And it would have been this doubt. But I knew if I relied upon Allah, Allah would clear it for me. And this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a brief tafsir and a brief discussion on the Surah Al-Masad, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who read the Quran, memorize the Quran, and understand the Quran, and tadabburan, yani you think about the Quran, and contemplate on the Quran, and look at the depth of the Quran, and implement those things in our life, even if they are few. Jazakumullahu khairan. Open up your questions now, inshallah.
Was there any reason Prophet Muhammad
ﷺ
gave his two daughters to Abu Lahab
family? Tayyib. This was done before Nabuwa. And this is before Prophet. Tayyib. Abu Lahab was a great man at that time. He was eloquent. He was known for being intelligent. His sons were brave. He was from a good family. Everything was good. So here Rasulullah ﷺ gave his daughters to him. But when he fought Islam, this is when he became an enemy of Allah and His Messenger.
But Prophet was knowing that he is not possible.
This was before Islam. And he qabla al-Nabuwa, before Prophethood.
Why did Abu Lahab's son protect Surah Najm?
When you have a disease in your heart, kufr is a disease. And when it's in your heart, then for the smallest things, people get misguided. There was no reason. He just, to him, he didn't believe in it. Like sometimes you have people, you talk to them about Islam, and they will agree with everything, but they'll say, you know what, I can't give up partying. I can't give up drugs. I can't give up alcohol. I can't. Stupid little things. But it takes them away. Somebody will learn about Islam, and then they'll learn about wudu, and they'll be like, doesn't make sense to me, why wash your feet? I don't want to become Muslim. And this is the ignorance. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an. We believe in this. And nobody can deny this to be a miracle. A man in the desert who couldn't read or write, that had no access to books, had no access to any scientific research or history, for him to produce a book that no linguist has been able to write, that all of Arabic grammar goes back to, that was the first actual authoritative work in Arabic language to begin with, that goes over history and what happened in the future, and has prophecies that have come true, including about the battles between the Romans and the Persians, and other things that have clearly come true, that has more than 50 scientific facts that I have collected myself, and somebody can, I'm sure, find more. Yani, such a book is impossible that a man in the desert, never been to where sea and salty and seawater mix, and can tell you, never knew about waves under the ocean, and it's in the Quran. Yani, we know this is from Allah. So then when you know that, you have to accept all of us now. You can't deny any of it. Okay? And if somebody has that kufr in their heart, then they'll find an excuse. Any other questions? Fadl Habib. La. So we said in the Arabic language, Imra and Zawja have the meaning of wife, but there's a difference. Imra'at is when something is missing. Either awlad or tarbiyah. And a woman, she, one of the key functions of a family is to have children. And when somebody doesn't have that, then in the Arabic language, I'm not talking about Sharia, I'm talking about the Arabic language, she is in a way incomplete. So when you find Imratul Fir'aun, because she didn't have children. We look at Yahya alayhi salam, or Zakariya alayhi salam, and his son. Until he had Yahya, he was Imra. And when he had a son, then it was Zawja in the Quran. So, but in the case of Jameel, she had children, but she didn't have that tarbiyah. She wasn't guiding them towards good, which is a very important function of a woman, to build a house, to build a good environment. And if that is missing, then something is missing in her, and she's not called Zawja. It's a linguistic difference. Any other questions? No. Jazakumullah khairan. اللهم تقبل منا ومنكم وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين